Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome. Let's barrel it up. I'm Jay Jambrone. We got Mark Mitchell today. The reason we got Mark Mitchell today is because he's got a little bit different story to tell. Not only been playing baseball as a youth, playing baseball as an adult, but there's a lot of football in between. So we get a chance to talk to somebody about that today, which we don't usually get. You're only my like seventh guy that I've got a chance to talk to about that. I talked to a guy in Michigan not too long ago, and he went to college to play football and didn't start playing baseball until he got into men's senior baseball at a more advanced age. And now he's at tournaments all over the place. He's managing tournaments and all that. And so it was cool to talk to him about that. So this is only the second time we get to talk about that. He's involved in men's adult baseball, been a youth baseball coach, still a youth baseball coach. I don't know. We'll get into that.
But... No, just from the stands.
Anyway, Mark Mitchell, welcome to Barrel It Up.
Thank you. Yeah. Glad to be here.
Let's start it. We like to start at the very beginning. Was baseball the first sport you got involved in?
It was.
Yeah. How old?
It's 7 years old. I mean,
seven?
I was seven. I remember you had to be seven to sign up. I lived in the Lawndale Hawthorne area in LA. And,
yeah.
You know, just couldn't wait to play. You know, watching baseball with my dad when I was a little kid back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And then I always wanted to be on the Dodgers. And lucky enough, my first team was, I got a call one day on the phone, and there was this guy named Jim Wallace. He goes, "Hey, I'm the coach of the Bodger Park Dodgers, and you're on my team." And I was just as happy as I could get.
Was that coach pitch at seven or?
No, you know what? I think it was kids were pitching. Oh, if I remember, yeah. So I remember there was a kid named Jim Mooney. He could pitch. And we had pitchers, you know, and it was a played real baseball. It seemed like I don't remember seeing T-ball until I moved to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I never played T-ball. We always had, you know, had kids pitching right out of the gate at seven. It must have been terrible, but it seemed like it was good, you know.
Now, that was a different time, too. Was that a time where that kid, the one guy who could throw, could pitch the whole game? And
he could pitch the whole game. Yeah, there was no pitch count. You know, no conserving any arms in those days. You know that.
What position did they have you playing?
You know, of course, I started out in the outfield, probably right field mostly.
Yeah.
And then eventually moved into the infield because I was kind of quick as a little kid. So I wasn't that good, that's for sure, but I sure loved playing.
And so dad was the one who got you involved in everything, huh?
Yeah, my dad's probably one of the best athletes I've ever seen. Yeah, he's a baseball player. He could play anything my dad couldn't. You know, he just kind of always pushed us to play sports. And he coached us all through, you know, Little League and all the way up. But not that first year. He didn't coach out here. We didn't really get him as a coach until we moved to Oklahoma when I was in third grade. So first grade out here, first and second grade playing Little League. In Oklahoma, we moved to a little small town. It was called City League. It wasn't even affiliated with any Little League, or there was no all. There was All Stars, but it played just in local towns. Like the All Stars played different because it was kind of a small thing. But you know, we had enough kids to probably have like maybe six teams in the divisions, whatever they were. You know, just And lucky enough, back in those days, you know, I'd go down and hang at the field because sometimes the teams were short players. And I ended up playing in two or three games a day.
Oh,
it was
wow.
great. Yeah.
What the different teams have you playing?
Well, I played shortstop most of the time. They wouldn't let me pitch. I wasn't a really good pitcher, but I could throw strikes. You know, I wasn't a strikeout guy, but and they would let, hey, he can play, but he can't pitch, you know. So I just played shortstop wherever they needed someone. I didn't care, you know, back in those days. I just hit the field with my bat, you know, wood bat. Yeah, my glove on the bat and just hang around. Hey, you guys are short, I'm ready to go. You know, I'm just
That was still a wood bat era, huh?
Yes. Yes, it was. You know, it was a little town called Hobart, Oklahoma. You know, probably 5,000 people there. And, you know, everybody knew everybody. It just was a great grow up sports. You know, was a really, really good thing there for kids. Back in those days, nothing else to do but sports. There was no phones, you know. Had to send smoke signals if you wanted to get a hold of somebody, you know.
Where was that located in Oklahoma?
The southwest corner. About 2 hours from Oklahoma City, southwest.
So I've gone through Oklahoma a whole bunch of times, but I know I haven't gone through quite that area of Oklahoma.
Yeah, if you went down the 40, we're about 36 miles south of the 40.
Okay, so fairly close I've been there, yeah.
Yeah, you probably went through a town called Clinton.
Yes.
The sign would say the biggest little town in Oklahoma, Clinton was, and we were 30 miles south of those guys.
Yeah, I've been to Clinton a few times and stayed in Stroud a few times, and so I've dealt with, I think every time I've been in Stroud's overnight, there's been a tornado.
That
area. Within 20 or 30 miles.
Yeah, I got a Stroud story I'll tell you later on in the gig here.
Yeah, don't let me forget that Stroud story.
Yeah.
It's, we the first time we went there, they had us on the fourth floor, and my wife goes, can we be put on the first floor, please? So every time we go there, we'll make sure we're on the first floor.
There you go.
There's been a storm every time we've been there. So
summertime. Yeah,
that's right. We've been caught where we couldn't go down certain roads. We had to do U-turns and things like that because of water, you know, flooding and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Love that area, but it's a beautiful area. I mean, people don't think of Oklahoma that way, but it is a beautiful area.
I love it out there. Yeah.
Yeah. God. So you mentioned siblings. How many siblings were playing sports?
I have two brothers, one just 1 year younger than me. Then I got a younger brother that's 14 years younger. So
wow,
he was almost like another kid to us, me and my brother. That, you know, my brother and I were just 1 year apart. We played, you know, almost every team together. It was
that's great.
A good deal growing up. Yeah.
What did he play?
1 year we weren't on the same team. He played second base or, you know, short infield, mostly second base.
So you guys got a chance to do double play stuff together then, huh?
We did. We always, you know, had the little combo and the Mitchell combo, they called it, you know, pretty fun. Yeah.
That had to be fun.
Oh, great time.
So what did they have after Little League there in Oklahoma?
We had called it preps. It was like, you know, 14, 15-year-olds. And that was just strictly like a travel ball team. Just other towns. Not like travel ball nowadays, but just we played other towns. Because you only had enough guys to put together one team. But, you know, we had a really nice stadium there. I think they had like some, you know, double-A and single-A teams that played back in the 20s and 30s. Big concrete, you know, grandstands. And, you know, the center field was like 402. It was 380 down the lines.
Wow.
Now they got sissy fences there for the high schoolers, you know. Yeah, they moved it up a lot. I've seen on, you know, some videos, but we didn't get that option. But you can get some in-the-park home runs there when you were a kid, you know, if it got past the outfielder.
Yeah, well, that's the only way I would have had any, so that's okay.
Yeah, me too.
Where'd you bat in batting order most of the time?
Lead off. Pretty quick. It's still bases, you know, so I was always kind of a leadoff guy. Especially when my dad coached, it was, you know, different because my dad's a good baseball coach. And, you know, when you're a kid, you don't realize how important coaching is until you get older and you have a football coach coaching your baseball team that has no idea what's going on. But now, you didn't know that when you were a kid, you know.
Was your dad a technical coach or an attitude coach?
A little bit of both. You know, he kind of – you know, it's funny. I just recently talked to some friends of mine back there, and they said, my dad taught us how to be a family. You know, he didn't care what color, height, shape, yeah. nothing. Just, you know, well, he real involved. My dad was 20 years old than me, so he was kind of like a kid too. You know, he could play with it. You know, it's just great times, you know, as a kid.
What other sports did your dad play?
I think he played, he could play just about any sport you put him on. Right? I played basketball against him and got beat, you know, and he could play foot, you know, he could run, throw, catch. Just one of those kind of guys, not the biggest guy in the world, but he's quick and just, he can play the guitar. He can just do anything. My dad's a, you know, kind of a gifted guy, just the best dad.
So, wow, yeah. That's great.
Good times. Yeah.
Yeah, I was a leadoff hitter too for a long time. And my whole thing was, I didn't care how I got on base. My job was to embarrass that pitcher if I possibly could and steal the next base and the one after that. How did you feel about being a base stealer?
Yeah, well, you know, that's probably my favorite part of the game, being on the bases. Just, I think in high school I got caught stealing one time, sophomore. Wow. You know, all the way, I played varsity when I was a freshman, so all 4 years I kind of was a pretty quick cat out there, you know. So,
who was the freshman coach then when you get to high school?
You know, it was one of the football coaches. Hard to remember. Well, we had one professional baseball player, a guy named Ronnie Ridland, that came and helped with our high school my senior year. And he was the one that took a wood bat out of my hand and threw it in the outfield. He said, don't use those wood bats because you could use an aluminum. I had no idea the difference back in those days. He goes, you'll hit it a little farther with that aluminum bat. And he was right, you know, a little bit better contact. But, you know, so he was probably the best coach to teach you stuff, because like they played for the Phillies for a little while. I think he's just in their farm system, you know. I tried to look him up recently. What a just a nice great guy he was. But it was his brother-in-law named Mark Little, probably one of the best football coaches walking the planet. Just great, you know, defensive coordinator mind. But he coached our, you know, our high school team a couple times, and it was like score one run, you know, get a guy on, steal second, bunt to third, squeeze him home, then win the game 1-0. That was his philosophy. You thought that was right back then, but you look back now going, that guy had no idea. You know, hope he's not watching this.
Did you have the kind of pitching that was going to make that work?
Sometimes we did. You know, we had some really good, you know, I grew up with some really good athletes that, you know, didn't play professional baseball, but probably could have. You know, like I got a friend, high school, name is Brad Caleb, incredible athlete, football, everything. He's in the NCAA. I mean, he's in the College Football Hall of Fame.
Wow.
NAIA. Yeah, he could pitch, play short, you know, just hit. Just one of those guys, basketball, just great athletes, you know, growing up. And, you know, it's funny how we were all mostly well-rounded athletes because in the town, you know, a small town, you got to play every sport.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like you just specialized as a baseball player. So at football season, we all played football. Then basketball or wrestling, you know, you made your decision. Then after that it was track and baseball, you know.
That's right.
What grade did football
come in?
In seventh grade.
Oh, really? That early?
So seventh grade football, it was straight up seventh grade football. And then out there they call it junior high. It's eighth and ninth grade.
Yeah.
And then 10th, 11th, and 12th is high school. And they called it a B team because you didn't have enough guys to have a varsity and a JV.
Yeah.
So they'd have JV games, but they'd play like the guys that didn't get to play. And then sometimes you'd bring a couple of guys that did get to play a lot and just have them work on something. Just a different, just because of how many kids there weren't, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of how they ran.
What day have you playing when you started getting into football?
Well, in seventh grade, I was a little taller than most, so I played center.
Oh,
center
wow.
And defensive. Yeah. And then, and then on to eighth grade, which was junior high, I was still a center. But in practice, we'd run sprints. It'd go backs and ends. They'd blow the whistle. They'd take off running, get about 10 yards down, then blow the whistle for the line. And I would catch those guys. Uh-huh. And so my freshman year, they moved me to wide receiver, like split end, you know, and it just it really worked because I was a little faster than the average guy, and I could really cut really good, and all of a sudden I could catch any ball you threw to me. When I was a little, I really wasn't that good at catching a football, but it just all of a sudden, somewhere out of the blue, it just could catch.
Did you have
some really successful football?
Yeah, did you have somebody that could get it to you?
Yeah. So in junior high, I had this Tom Knoll, who's our quarterback. Farm boy, had a cannon for an arm. He played catcher, too. He could throw a rope from the squat to second base like nobody's business.
Wow.
But he was our quarterback. You know, you didn't have to break off your pattern for that guy. He had a great arm, just good athlete. You know, he wrestled and he played baseball and football, just played quarterback, you know, one of those kind of guys. Just
So you had him all the way. You had him all the way through.
Yeah, that, huh? All the way through. You know, I had our third baseman when I was in little, you know, a junior high. I was a kid named Greg Coney, which is kind of like my brother growing up. Great athlete. You know, you put him on the football field, you didn't want to get him near you. You know, he'd level you. Just he'd point you out to and go get you. You need a block. You just go get my Greg, Matt Bow. He'd go get him. You know, but good baseball player, good basketball player. Yeah, it was a. Just you have a nucleus of guys. We still kind of keep in touch, you know, via text messages, which is nice, you know. So
yeah. But, yeah. What was your best between the two of you? What was your best route and most successful route?
A little post route. Uh-huh. Just I'd get the defensive. I turned and cut inside him and hit me across the middle. Was kind of our favorite deal, you know. Just I'd run any route. It's my favorite route. So.
As long as the ball was coming your way.
And we were, that's right. And, you know, you don't think about how ball hog you are until you grow up and thought, man, I shouldn't have been like that. Yeah, the same group of guys all through, you know, baseball, football, basketball, track. You know, just it was and it's where you didn't know any difference out there. It was just how it was. It wasn't like I'm going to play one sport. You didn't even think that way, you know, so.
Yeah, and you
they probably kick you out.
What'd you do in basketball?
And we were reasonably successful in basketball. You know, with the athletes we had, I think we could have been more successful. But just looking back at the athletes we had, I thought we could have, you know, really done a lot better than we did. But so our basketball might have been the least successful of the stuff we did. It seems like. Well, we made it to the state tournament a couple of times.
That's successful. Yeah.
Yeah. That's successful.
Who coached that? Was that somebody that just coached basketball or?
A football coach. football/basketball coach. They had a coach one year named Kenneth O'Neill. There's even a street named after him now. He was a basketball player. You know, went to college and came back and taught there in Hobart. And I played him in horse one day when I think I was in 10th grade. And I beat him in the first game. In the second game, he shot all bank shots from anywhere on the court and just, you know, lit me up just to show me who was the king, you know. What a good dude.
So. Now, you know, one of the things you run into when you're a small town like that, there's not a lot of people, because you mentioned some guys of quality athletes. One of the things is there's not too many people looking at you in a small town like that. You know, what kind of opportunities did guys come up with? You know, from there.
Some guys went to NAIA schools and played. And it's funny, like looking at football, you know, I kind of thought I was going to get, you know, scouts talking to me. I had a couple, but I really didn't. I didn't get any offers. I could have walked on. I played in the All-State game after my senior year, the East-West team. And I did, you know, pretty good receiver in that, but I really never had anybody come up and say, hey, let's, and I didn't even know. You know, the guidance, I really didn't have any guidance to tell me what to do with that. You know, and the kid, you think, you know, and also too, you get wrapped up in that glory. You're probably not as good as you think you are when you're in high school. And the whole town will tell you how good you are and you think you're good. And I've used that after you grow up and realize that to guide younger kids that played little league baseball that I coached. And then when they got in high school, well, actually I talked their parents into letting them play Pop Warner. And, you know, this one kid in particular was really good at every sport he plays. And in high school, he had a really good year in football. So he didn't even play baseball his senior year, but he is a baseball player. He's not a football player. He's a baseball player.
Yeah.
I set stands at the Carter Stadium with Catella High School playing in the finals, CIF finals against Crispy. And Catella won. I said, and I looked at him and I said, hey, you should be playing it there. He goes, no, I'm a football player. I go, you're playing at Fullerton JC. I go, I could make that team, bro. And I go, you should play in baseball. And it wasn't just me, but a handful of guys were on him. His gramps was on him, his dad. He finally ended up going to to Cypress College and he got drafted by the A's. And he played, you know, 16 years. He played 10 years in the minors and 6 years in the bigs. You know, just
wow, wow,
yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a different world, isn't it? You know, we're talking about being seen and have people that can help you along the way. I mean, you know, Southern California, entirely different animal in that respect.
Exactly.
You know, a million people see you, a million people are there to try and
right
work on your game and all that kind of stuff. It's an entirely different world.
Yeah. And you know, and baseball is my favorite sport, but football, you have that success and it kind of wraps you up in it. Cause I used to get like invites to schools to go, you know, baseball, like Panhandle State or something. I said, I'm not going to go there. You know, just, I figured wait for someone to call me to play football just because of the glory. When you're a kid, it wraps you up.
Yeah.
And I probably could have been more successful as a baseball player because of my size. I was about a 5'10", about a 135.
Yeah.
You know, so I wasn't, I used to wear two thigh pads to make my legs look bigger, you know, and they in the program, they put me down as 165. Yeah, I was baseball size though, you know, so.
Yeah. I was wondering in a modern world, what height and weight I would have been listed at. Cause I was probably 140, 145 in high school, you know, for football and stuff. And, of course we only had one guy on our team over 200 pounds anyway, you know, back in the 60s like that. So it was, and even in, we were a suburban Detroit high school, but even then nobody's looking at you, you know, back in those days, you know, you weren't getting scouted. One guy out of our league ever made it to the major leagues, and very few guys got college stuff. So, you know, it was a whole different world. I did an interview with a guy recently whose son pitches for the Guardians, you know, for Cleveland right now, and about the structure of how he brought his kid through all these different levels of high, you know, junior high, high school, college, all that stuff. And without his intense guidance all the way through, he probably never would have gotten anywhere near a major league team. You know, during all that time, like when you're receiving, did you have any, well, of course you probably didn't have a lot of coaches on your high school team. You know, how many coaches were coaching football? Three.
Yeah. Head coach, offensive lineman coach. Our head coach did the offense. Then we had defensive coordinator, you know, is just incredible.
You didn't have a receivers coach. You know?
Yeah. Well, our defensive coordinator was our receiver coach too. He was really good at it, you know, so.
That's good.
Like I said, we had some really good football coaches there. My junior year, we went undefeated state champions. And, you know, you're like a movie star in those. It's crazy. And it's funny how you talk about exposure. I had my aunt and uncle from out here visiting for that weekend, and they saw that game. And my uncle tried to talk me into moving out here to California and live with them and go to school so I'd get seen. I thought, are you crazy? And leave this, you know? leave my town? That's my town, dude.
Yeah, I did talk to somebody who did do that. He was out of New York, and he had a chance to go to someplace in Texas or come out to L.A. County. And he picked L.A. County, and that's how he got going. Because now he can be seen by everybody. Jeez.
Yeah. Crazy. Oh.
So what was my next question on that? My next question on that was, so what did you do after high school then?
Well, I kind of got lazy. I went to a year of college. I walked on to Southwestern Oklahoma State University's football team. That's an NAIA school.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
I made the team, but then I really copped an attitude to them because I wanted some scholarship money because I felt like I was better than all the guys there. You know, it's it's funny that the attitude I had then. So I was kind of arrogant about, you know, because I could run pretty fast and I, you know, I had like the second fastest time on that team. So I just kind of. Then I quit. So I quit that. And I really didn't like going to school because I think I was a good student in high school, but I think I just kind of got burned out on trying to be as good as like my other buddies. Like I mentioned, like Greg Coney, the guy played third base and the lineman, great athlete. These guys were smart. And I was in the classes with them, but it was kind of easier for them than it was for me. They don't know that. And if they watch this, I'll just delete that part. They were smarter than me. And I had to work hard. And so I kind of got lazy out of high school. And I really didn't see myself getting a degree and using it. And I like to, you know, I like to do electrical work, even when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to be an electrician. So I went to work for a friend of mine's dad. They're a little small town electrician. Worked for them. And then I ended up just moving, after a year of college, I ended up moving to California. Spur of the moment, come see my aunt.
Yeah, there you go.
And that was in April of 83. And so then I was coaching Pop Warner football, and I met this gal.
Uh-oh.
And I was going to, as that was in August, I was going to go back home. My mom had come out to visit, and I was pretty homesick. And I was going to go back home. I thought, I'll hang around another week and see how this works out. And I've married almost 42 years. Yeah. So
they'll do that to you.
Yeah.
Well, this is a good, spot to take a break in. Before right. Before we say goodbye to Mark, because we're going to talk to Mark some more, but we're going to do it in a whole nother time. We're going to pick up at this point. And so before we do that, I have some housekeeping to do. And that anybody who listens to regularly, you're probably bored to death with this part of it, but I got to do it anyway. And that is to thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. If you're watching right now, you're probably watching clips from this show on either Facebook or Instagram. And please subscribe to the channel. Please follow the channel. And please rate the channel. Those are all extremely important things for this channel to grow so that we can get these people's Mark's story and other people's stories out to a wider audience. And there's a rating system, 1 to 5. 5 would be great. I know some podcasts I listen to that insists on 5s. If you're going to rate us, give us a 5. Otherwise, don't rate us at all. I just say, whatever the rating is, give it to me and be nice. Tell me why. If you have any comments, do it at barrelitup@yahoo.com. We'd love to hear from you. Don't worry about spelling that. That's going to be in the description of the show. If you have somebody that you'd like us to talk to on the show, please give us the information on who, why, and how to get in touch with them. You can do that at barrelitup@yahoo.com also. If you want to see a complete list of all the guests we've had on the show, this is show number 111, by the way. You can go to jjambrone.com. That'll be in the description also. And on page 5 of that, you can see a complete list of everybody who's been on there. Go and check out their descriptions and find out what's interesting about them. As I mentioned, video clips are available on both Facebook and Instagram. And I want to thank everybody that helps put this show together. I want to thank the people at Pod Populi who do all the editing and all the distribution, whether it's Spotify, Apple, wherever it is, they do all that. I want to thank my executive producer, Susan, and my associate producer, Robin. Mark, thank you so much for this, and we're going to talk to you again very soon.
Thanks, Jay.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.